Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. If you are just waking up, starting your day in a positive way, we're so glad that you're here. I do have some incredible giveaways, so I want to make sure that you have our number, and that number is 805-419-0008. That's 419-0008. All you have to do is either call us or text us. And if you are not getting our newsletter, make sure you get it. You'll find out about all of our amazing guests and all of our amazing events. So today, I always start, well, every show, I start our show with something uplifting. And today's is the only limits you have are the limits you believe that you put on yourself. If you believe it, then guess what? You're putting that out to the universe. So again, think of the best part of your life and who you are. So with that, I am really excited. We've got our next mixer coming up, and I'm excited for everyone that's signed up, and I can't wait to see you. And if you didn't get into this mixer, definitely you can text me. And our next one is August 1st in Camarillo. So I would love for you to be a part of that. If you have a business and you love what you do and you want to share it, come share it with me. Also, I am super excited. Caneo Food, Wine, and Fest is back. And that is happening Sunday, June 23rd, 1:30. Starts over at Pasco School in Thousand Oaks. And every bigger and better this year. And, oh, my gosh, the charities that they actually partner up with include Ventura Food Share, Mini Mansions, and so much more. So we've got tickets for that. So again, just put WineFest and text us again, of course, at 419-0008. And I was really fun to see everybody at the comedy that won tickets last week. This week we've got Junior Club's Comedy Club located inside the Black Bear Diner. We've got that. And then, of course, VenturaLaughs.com. We've got tickets for you. And if you haven't already signed up, sign up and call in to win. Again, 419-0008. Just write comedy and one of our team members will get back with you. I'm excited to bring my first guest on. He's been on our show before, and he's back. This guy is on fire. Many of you know him from the Orange is the New Black, and Mark Burley is who I'm talking about. And let's welcome Mark. Are you there?
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me onto the show. It's very exciting. Always happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. I'm really excited to kind of just hear your inspiration, hear who you are, how you got there, and what you would tell the world and what you want them to know about you.
All right. So going back to your other question, which I didn't get to. So when COVID hit, I was working on Glow, that's on Netflix. We were working on the fourth season of Glow, and I was producing and directing on that. And then the day that I was going to start shooting one of my episodes, COVID hit and everything got shut down. I was going to start directing the next day. Then a few months later, the show actually got canceled. Expectation was when COVID was over, we'd come back. So it got canceled. So I haven't been working in, the traditional TV shows that I worked on since then. I have been working on other projects where I am sort of involved because I am helping new young filmmakers make their projects. And so I've been like executive producer on a film called When Today Ends, and then a short film. And then last year I was asked by a young friend of mine to direct a short film. It was called Moonblood. I directed that, and we've been taking it out to festivals, and it's been fun. It's a little different from what I'm used to. But what I'm shocked is that, you know, people can make, and this is a half hour film, you know, make a half hour film for the kind of money that we had for the coffee budget on the shows that I was working on. So,
wow. So
it is. It's different for me. Obviously, it's the same skills, but it does show you, you know, a whole. And I've never really been on the film festival circuit before, and that's fun. And you go and you meet other filmmakers and so on. And then just recently, we were at this festival called the Hollywood Comedy Shorts Film Festival, and we won for being, you know, the best dark comedy. So managed to, oh, here you go. Ta-da!
Congratulations.
That was fun. It's a sort of silly thing, but fun. It's really interesting.
Huge. That's really
so
huge.
I got a couple of other projects kind of like that I'm working on. I've just taken on executive producer on another short film, very nice, a very good short film called Over the Board, which is going to be screening soon. That's the kind of thing that I am doing at the moment.
Well, I love that. So let's flash back into your life. When did you start into TV?
I started in TV proper in the late 70s. Before that, I was working on producing and production managing and so on, commercials. To go all the way back, when I was at college in England, in my later years in college, I'd always liked going to films before that. And in my later years in college, I got more and more into it and excited about it. And there was, you know, like we had a college film society and we'd run all these films, you know, whatever kind of new wave French films and a lot of pretentious stuff, but we loved it. So by the time, before I finished, I decided, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to go into the film business. And then there wasn't a lot of opportunity in England at that time, but I knew that if I went into this advertising agency, which was called Young and Rubicon, which is actually a big American agency, it was the biggest, maybe number two in the world at that time. But I knew that if I went into there, I could go into their TV production department, which is what I did. And then, so I was an assistant to a producer on producing commercials in London. And then I moved to America and started working on commercials, now on the production side, not for the ad agency. And then after I got, very quickly, after I got into the Directors Guild just doing that, I then was able to, I got referred to over to, and my first job was on The Incredible Hulk.
Incredible, incredible. First of all, how long have you been in California? You know, my whole family's from London, right? England. So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I knew you were going to say that. I still love it, but it's a little crazy out there now. So, yeah.
Everywhere's crazy.
That is.
I moved here in like 1974. So, and I've always, you know, I would not go and live back in England. I love living in California. So I've been here ever since.
That's great.
And I go back and I have, you know, family there.
Yeah. You know, who was your inspiration? Like, you know, what made you even want to go into TV? Did you already, were you the kind of, you know, young child that had these great ideas, obviously, to imagine? Is that who you were, Mark?
I don't think I was. I wasn't that, you know, as a kid, I wasn't that, you know, like, you know, we see these like Spielberg or his autobiography that he suggested, you know, that he was like always making films and all of that. But definitely during the, you know, during my teens, I started going to a lot of films. So that I think is, I don't think there was like one person who was the inspiration. I think it was the filmmaking process and the storytelling and the, you know, all of the aspects of it. So I'd say, I don't know if you know this film called Cinema Paradiso, where the little kid is always going to go see, sneak in and see the movies. I was more like that rather than, wow, you know, somebody who was creating.
So you kind of were the back end of the scene, right? You were like, yeah, you were.
Yeah, I sort of, yeah. And then, you know, I didn't have like a specific, like, I want to be a director, or I want to be a writer, or I want to be, I just, any, you know, any aspect of it was of interest to me. And it just happened that I, you know, I came up or got jobs through the production side. I started as a, you know, PA and then became an assistant director and then a commercials producer. And then I got in as to the DGA as an assistant director, and that was how I started on, and then I became a production manager, and then
you're way up that ladder, right?
Yeah. And then,
I mean,
you know,
you hear about that, and that's really reality of how it works, right? We all have to do our time.
Yes, you have to do, well, you know, some people are lucky enough not to, maybe some people are smarter or more creative than me, but you know,
hey, is it still your passion?
Yeah, well, what's become my passion now is directing. So I did direct one episode of the Incredible Hulks, ridiculously, like, you know, many, many years ago. Then I kept producing. I went into writing on Murder, She Wrote. I wrote like 8 episodes of Murder, She Wrote. But that wasn't my, I didn't think, that was really my skill set, my, you know, and it wasn't, I wasn't passionate about it. And then on Orange is the New Black, after, you know, producing and doing a lot of filmmaking in between, that was when I started directing. So like 10, you know, 10 years ago, and really took that up. And that is my passion. So I'm just like, and I'm hopefully I'm,
you broke through to whatever your next was, right? I mean, that's really,
yeah,
it. Yes, so, you've been doing this, but you led into where you are today.
Right. I got in. Well, yeah. So I, you know, so I directed on Orange is the New Black and on Glow, and then a series called American Princess, and another one called Teenage Bounty Hunters, which is on Netflix as well. And so that's,
you know, something. How hard is it to be a director? Do you come up with the idea, or do you, after they have the idea, you direct it?
In television, you're generally, you're hired on to direct something that has been written by somebody else, by a showrunner. So like that would be the case in all of the series that I just mentioned, you know. I was there, I was a producer as well. And in films, you know, there are a lot of people who write and direct their own stuff. And there is, even if you're not writing it in a film, like even on the, you know, the Moonblood, it was written, but then you're more likely to give notes about it or make adjustments, or work with the writer to make adjustments of what you think is, you know, the best storytelling. So in feature films, you can't, you know, there can be that sort of like the crossover where the director and the writer are the same person, but very often in television that they're not.
And what is the actual difference between the director and the producer? Can you share that?
Well, let's talk about the director first, because the producer, especially in television, is a very long, complicated story. But the director is the person who is on the set, who is coming up with what the shots are going to be. They are working with the actor on performance. And then they work with the editor in post-production on the editing. So it's the person who is actually sort of putting the film together on sort of a more creative side, I would say. The producer in television can be, it can be so many things. Like there's the showrunner who created the show, who's usually an executive producer. There are other writers who may be executive producers or co-producers, but they're basically writers and they're in the writer's room and they're creating the scripts. Mm-hmm. There's usually a producer who is just the line producer, who is the person who is putting it together in terms of, you know, hiring crew, where you shoot, budget, set. And I did that for many years. And then there are also director producers who are like, they have a producer title, but they're basically directors. And then I was in a sort of a weird limbo situation where I was an executive producer, but I wasn't doing line producer. You know, we had a line producer in New York for Orange is the New Black. But then I was, you know, very involved in post-production and editing and, you know, hiring directors. And, you know, it was like, so those are all producers. That's just on the TV side. On a feature side, generally the producer is the person who put the project together and raises the money, which is not easy. Then there are other producers who might be like executive producers who might have put some money in and got an executive producer title. And then, you know, there's usually co-producers and people who are maybe production manager might get a co-producer title or something like that. So it's the producer title is a very broad category. Netflix before that would buy other stuff. Orange is the New Black was one of the first ones that they made, that they actually made, that and House of Cards. So then what happened, you know, after that was that the number of streaming platforms just got huge. And all of the traditional television people had to now jump on board that. So did like HBO and Showtime, who had been cable. Everybody had to get into the
internet,
into the internet space. Right. And consequently, there has been like a huge amount of work up until, you know, recently. Right. There was a huge amount of work because all of those companies were trying to get a hold or be found in that space. So they were all putting money in, and then other people coming in, Apple TV, Disney, you know, they've all been putting a lot of money in to try and grab the audience. And, you know, at a certain point, there's only X amount of money that people are going to put in, you know, in the $13 or $8 or whatever it is a month, and you multiply that by the number of people, that's the amount of money that there is to make all these shows. In reality, I would say there's a bubble.
Okay, so
we've seen that a little bit in the last, well, in Hollywood, you know, the COVID thing happened, and then the strikes last year happened, and there's been, you know, a reduction in the amount of production in LA over the last 2 years. And I don't know that it'll come back again, because I think it was, there was more production than there was real money to support it ultimately.
Okay, that's really interesting. Let me ask you a question. As you know, somebody who's not in that industry, you get a great show and they have all these series and then they cut it. Is that money? Is that because it's not because people don't love it, because you see on there, like, what do you mean? It's not, you know, what's your thought on that?
There can be a number of reasons why a show gets cut, but, you know, theoretically or generally the idea should be that not enough people are watching it to make it worthwhile to spend the money to make that show.
Oh, so the income isn't coming in.
I mean, yeah, now there's a lot of, like, I'll tell you two stories. First of all, like Murder, She Wrote, which ran for 12 seasons. I was on it for 5 seasons. It was in the top 10 for like 11 seasons, and it ran on Sunday night after 60 minutes and was enormously popular, and, you know, families would watch it together, et cetera, et cetera. However, the audience that was watching Murder, She Wrote tended to skew older for obvious reasons.
Right.
And advertisers are looking, the way they can sell commercials is they want the young audience, the, you know, the people who are like 15 to 35. That's who advertisers want, because they think that those are people who are going to buy their products. So CBS was in a kind of a bind, because it would look pretty weird if they canceled a show that was in the top 10, even though it was getting the, like, right, 50 to 70 year old audience. So in the last season, they moved where it was showing, and they put it on a Thursday night. And now it wasn't, you know, people didn't watch it then, but they, you know, they didn't have the big lead in from 60 minutes.
Right.
And so it tanked in terms of the ratings, and then they were able to cancel it.
Oh, so they positioned it in a different place so that possibly, right? I mean, yeah.
That's yes. I mean, in my sort of conspiratorial mind, that was what they were thinking to do. Because they wanted to, you know, get something that was going to get younger eyeballs.
Right.
So similarly, and I'm not going to name the show.
Right.
There's, you know, another show I was on, and it was pretty popular in the United States, but it did not. Was not successful, like, overseas for whatever reasons. I guess, you know, more of the overseas market likes sort of like action and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So it consequently was difficult to get it renewed each time. And ultimately it was canceled because it wasn't, you know, it's a Netflix show. It was a Netflix show, but and Netflix is now a worldwide company. So they want stuff that's going to show all over the world.
Everywhere.
They don't want. Yeah. So that was the reason, you know, it was sort of similar to the other story, but not, you know, for different reasons got canceled.
Mark, how hard is it for somebody to break in to the industry now? Is it almost impossible? Do you have to have experience? I mean, you see all these reality shows, okay, but, like, if, you know, if somebody wanted to have a talk show or be on, or, you know, do something, how hard would it be to get on there?
It's always been difficult to get into the film or television business. It's a hard business to get into. You need to be talented. You need to be determined. You need to know people.
It is what you know and who you know, right? So a lot of both, yeah.
But, you know, that having been said, the one thing that has changed is that anybody can now create a show and put it up on YouTube, wherever we're being watched. It's been, the whole process has been democratized. Okay. You don't need to have a huge sum of money. You don't need to be on one of the big production producing companies. You can make your own show and you can have a niche and you can, you know, people do that and they get a certain amount of advertising. I don't know that they're making that much money, but I mean, there are a lot of people who are doing that. So if you have a voice and you have something creative to say and you can say it in an interesting way, you can get people to watch it. And, you know, the whole world can watch it if they choose to, or you have your 20 friends who watch it every week, whichever, you know, whichever works for you. Right.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. So, okay, what's next for you?
All right, what I really would like to do would be to direct a feature film, to be honest with you. And I am sort of plugging along with some things trying to make that happen. So we'll see. We shall see. But that's my kind of fantasy of what I will do next.
I love it. So all work, what's your play? What's your hobbies? Who are you? And what do you love doing besides what you love doing is your work too, but.
Yes. I like being outdoors. I like hiking. I have horses. I like to ride my horse in my neighborhood. I just like doing physical stuff a lot. Like I just ran a 5K last Sunday, I guess. A local 5K is a charitable thing. So I do like that aspect, keeping fit and outside and being outdoors and just enjoying. I live in a very rural area. I like open space. Every Sunday morning, go hiking with a bunch of friends and we go up in the Santa Monica Mountains. It's just, yeah. I love that. That's a joy to me.
So do you feel like you're living your passion?
I feel like I have been had a very lucky I feel pretty fulfilled with a lot of all the things that I've done. I've got a lot of breaks over the years, and it's kind of ridiculous that I would have, you know, taking up directing at my age. Although, I mean, look at Clint Eastwood's and you know, he's directing in his 90s. And you know, there are a bunch of older directors, so maybe I look young compared to them. But that was, you know, like I hadn't really expected that. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I wanted to direct, and my career went another way. And you know, God, I was lucky to have that career. So to answer your yes, I'm very grateful for everything that has happened to me.
I love that. Mark, I want to ask you, and then we'll wrap it up, but I want to have you back, okay? Because there's so much more that I want to know and I want the world to know about you. Is what's your favorite saying? Like, what would wrap you up? You know, mine, for me, my kids all know it. They've made me plaques. Mine is, many hands make little work. And what would yours be?
Mine is, it's better to travel hopefully than to arrive.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Mark Burley. I love it. Mark Burley, this has been a pleasure. And thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy and I appreciate it. And I look forward to tuning in and being more a part of whatever you're doing. And again, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. I always love chatting with you and seeing what you're doing, because I know you have so many, you know, just like, you know, so many people and like bring out the best in them. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, have a great rest of your weekend, and I will be talking to you.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye, Kim.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a really quick break. And of course, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And remember, our phone number here is 419-0008. If you are interested in going to Caneo Food and Wine Festival, that's Sunday, June 23rd at Pascal School in Thousand Oaks, definitely text us at that number and write Wine Fest. And if you are into comedy, which that is one of my favorite things, we've got tickets for you. Just text us comedy and we'll get some tickets out to you. Again, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com. For WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans, Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself and complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here, joining us, and starting your day in a positive way. And of course, I do want to remind you that we do have giveaways, and I'd love to get them in your hands. If you are interested in going to Caneo Food and Wine Fest in Thousand Oaks over at the Pasco School over there, such an incredible event, and that's happening June 23rd and that starts at 1:30 on a Sunday. It's a great event, and lots of vendors, lots of food, lots of wine, and lots of brew. And, of course, all goes for incredible charities, Ventura Food Share, Many Mansions, and so much more. Call in and just text me at and say food, wine, food and wine fest or comedy. Just put comedy and we'll get some tickets out to you. My next guest, I'm really excited. We actually go way back, and she is Heather Colligan. And of course, she is a psychotherapist. But today she is going to be tapping into your innate wisdom by reshuffling the cards, literally, to find your breakthrough moments. And I'm really excited to hear what she is doing and what she's sharing. And let's bring Heather. Are you there?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Heather Colligan, and I began my career, yes, as a high school teacher, actually, and all the parent conferences were about issues with adolescents. So I went on and became a marriage and family therapist for the last 25 years.
Let me just start right there. My hat goes off to you. That's like the hardest age, isn't it, for parents and children, right?
It definitely is. And so being their English teacher, I felt a little ill-equipped to help with the issue. So I said, well, I think I'll get my master's in counseling psychology. So I became a marriage and family therapist for the past 25 years. And I worked with adolescents and their families and helping them and working with trauma therapy and parent coaching and things like that. And then I discovered I really enjoyed working with the moms of the teens I was working with in my own transformation. And so I really...
Let me ask you a question on that. When you worked with their moms, I mean, you were working with the adolescents. Obviously, you were working with the parents at the same time, right? So what was the interaction at that point?
What the interaction with the moms?
With the parents, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of kind of supporting them to look at their own issues and how they were showing up in the parenting experience, you know, whether it was enabling their child or denial or some of their own issues from adolescence would show up sometimes when their adolescent showed up in crisis. So yeah, it was really kind of helping them see what their own issues were, how their own family of origin issues were playing out in this multi-generational situation. Yeah.
Sometimes we could be our worst enemies, right? As a parent,
it is
right?
True.
We wonder, yeah, like, how, why are my kid doing this? And yet maybe look in the mirror, right? I mean, we all have to do
sometimes.
That. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about, I know that now you're really concentrating more on the moms, which is like, oh my gosh, these moms are going to be so grateful because I know how amazing you are and how powerful your services are. So tell us a little bit about what
Thank
you're
you. Yeah, I just wanted to work with the moms to help them raise a hand for themselves, because a lot of times they were putting everyone else first beside themselves. And so on my own journey, I expanded into life and spiritual coaching. And I really love helping women, you know, get spiritually grounded, tap some unconscious blocks, and help lead them to their own true north. You know, that's really what I'm about right now. Mm. And I love using tools such as therapy, which is what I'm here to talk to you all about today, just to help my clients connect to their own intuition, you know, and really learn how to walk through life with grace and ease and in a more grounded and soulful way.
I love it. And of course, I've heard a little bit about therapy. Sounds like a tarot, and therapy is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, well, therapy is put together as tarot and therapy, and it is really, you know, designed originally in therapy practices. But you do use tarot images, because the tarot and the history of the tarot really has beautiful imagery and beautiful stories of myths and archetypes of humanity and the journey of humanity. But you can use any images. I use photo prints sometimes. I'll use any kind of imagery. It all works. It all helps to access. And it's a very collaborative process also that I do with it. So it's not tarot card reading. It's collaborative, and we look for things. Yeah.
And that's what I was just going to ask you, if you were a tarot card reader. So no, correct?
No, that's not what therapy is. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about therapy. I'm really interested in this. And, you know, I actually did one session with you because I always like to like know a little bit more about what we were talking about. And I was really impressed because I was blinded to what you were asking me. And you're like, look further, look at the, you know, and it really talked to me. So I'm excited to have you share this.
Yeah, love to tell you. Well, I just want to tell you that I became exposed to therapy when I worked with an amazing dream therapist for about 20 years named Lauren Schneider. So she's the creator of therapy and she's got a book about it. So years ago, I already started coordinating this into my life and into my therapy work. And so what's really great about it is, you know, like I said, I also used it in family therapy. I mean, images is so powerful. It kind of helps break down some barriers. Images, you know, bring us so much
clarity.
Clarity. Yeah. It's like, yeah, the things that you're not seeing in that. So, so the imagery really works. And I just feel like therapy is just such this hidden gem. It is so powerful to break through blocks, obstacles. You get to like, you know, it's a projective tool, by the way, also. It's a Jungian tool. So Carl Jung, one of the fathers of psychology, right? It talked about dreams and the imagery of dreams. So basically with therapy, we're laying out cards on the table, but it's like a waking dream. So we're really accessing our unconscious mind, you know?
I love this. And so it's kind of like a vision board in a sense, right? That you're putting your, so you let the patient or the client, whatever you call them, right, pick mm-hmm. their cards, and then you guide them through this session, right?
Yeah, they ideally pick their own decks, whatever they're drawn to. That says a lot about it. And I usually have like 30 decks when I'm working with people. I've had like 50. I've misplaced a lot of them. But anyway, so yeah, they pick that. And so when, you know, do you want me to kind of go into the full process or?
Well, it sounds like it has... its origins in psychology, correct? So talk totally. A little bit about that.
Yeah. So like I said, you're just kind of laying out the cards of your life. And that's why we say you can reshuffle, rearrange the cards. So sometimes we've been dealt cards, we might think a bit unfairly in life. And so we can lay it out and see what's going on, what's underneath this. And we can see aspects of ourselves and aspects of others that gives us a new direction, like a pathway to our inner vision, you know, that can lead us to peace and healing. And many of the imageries, you might look at a card and go, whoa, what is happening in this card? You know, and you start to tell the mood, the association. What is the story behind it? What are the archetypes in it? And then sometimes there's even healing or medicine even offered in the card that you didn't look at before in a situation that you might be dealing with.
I love this. And I do want to remind anybody that's just either waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show. Of course, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Heather Colligan, and she's a psychotherapist, and this is just one of the tools that she uses, and it's therapy. What kind of challenges or blocks can therapy help people with?
Pretty much anything, any kind of insecurities, motivations, fears, decision-making, life transitions, spiritual struggles, finding your purpose, relationship challenges, tapping your intuition. I mean, you name it. It really works for everything. It's so helpful.
And Heather, how did you get attracted to this? I mean, you talk about like working with dream specialists. Were there dreams or nightmares maybe that you were working with and then you started working and now you help other people?
Yeah, well, I was in a dream group for about 20 years with the same women.
20 years, that's huge. Wow.
Yeah, this whole time. And so we would do the therapy and we would also analyze dreams. So they were very connected. So sometimes I had trouble remembering my dreams. So then I would use therapy, like pull images that are related to some of maybe the blocks and struggles that I was having. And it was just so illuminating. So for me, it was just an aha. I'd always been drawn to all kinds of things, tarot card reading, mediumship. You know, I've done a lot of classes in intuitive and personal development in that area. So the therapy just spoke to me. It was just so clear. And I loved that it isn't like when you go get a tarot card reading or something, people's like, this is what's happening to you, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's like you're actually engaged with the imagery and you have like an interaction with this imagery and it taps into something I feel that is your inner wisdom. You know, we all know we have these answers and the cards just help bring it forward.
Kind of spiritual a little bit too, isn't it?
Yeah. You cannot take the woo-woo factor out of it. There are definitely divine moments that happen, you know, like I can give an example, like working with a client, you know, for example, and perhaps they were in a lot of, you know, struggle about accepting maybe they had a drinking problem or some issues going on. Right. And then they choose the deck, they choose the cards, they pull it out. And then it's like, oh, it's a guy sitting on a bar stool in a bar about to fall off the bar stool. I mean, you know, there's not even that much I have to say. I'm like, wow, what do you think about that card? Like, what do you think?
What do you see, right? Because it's their vision that they're seeing and your vision that you're seeing. And yet no two people see the same exact thing, right?
Yeah, no. And many of the cards. Yeah, absolutely. So if a client, you know, after we've kind of started the process, I'll go into a little more detail later, I guess. But, you know, basically, if they've described something they see, I'll build on that. But if I see something totally different, I'll say, hey, if this were my card, I'm wondering about this, what does it mean to you? You know,
and we can get deeper. And so how does it work exactly? How do you work with people with these issues and the cards? Go through the process a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely just have to identify key topics that somebody wants to work with. And so then we will pull a card for each one. And usually I like to pull the cards randomly because, again, that divine aspect that shows up. But also clients can just choose the images from the deck. They might go through a deck and go, this one resonates with me, I'm putting this one down. Because again, it's a projective tool. So whether they pick it consciously or randomly, whatever's supposed to show up and be processed and looked at, that's what shows up, right? So I'll even use multiple decks at a time, multiple types of images, you know, and whatever you're drawn to, just mix and match and throw it down there and see what story starts to speak to you, what starts to unfold.
I love this. And so if somebody was like, maybe had to make a tough decision, or they maybe aren't good at trusting themselves or their heart or their, you know, soul. Is this something that could really help them doing this?
So much. So like if somebody came to me about that, we would, you know, say, okay, like how many cards do you think you want to look at? And most people, it's somewhere between 3 and 8 we're usually looking at, right? Okay. So people will intuitively come up with a number. So we'll write out some placements on the, you know, on a piece of paper and we'll label them. What are those top issues that you want? You know, insecurity might be one, trusting my gut, fear that pops up, you know, a relationship challenge along this decision, whatever it might be. So we label all the placements and then we pull those cards randomly and lay them out. So for example, I'll have some cards here. I love to use the Light Seers deck. This one's beautiful. Anyway, so I'm going to pull a card for, say, insecurity, because that's one that comes up for a lot of people. There's a block, right? Mm-hmm. So I have this card that shows this young, tall, lean, dark-skinned young woman. And she's holding a staff up, right? And in the staff, there's a, you know, kind of an orange light at the top is sticking out, and there's a fence of wands around her. And her expression is really one of skepticism and kind of like, I don't know, hesitant, you know? And so I might say to a client who's looking at that position, I'll say, what do you need to know about insecurity popping up? You know, how do you need to approach insecurity when it pops up in your life, right? And then I might say, what healing or medicine do you see in this card? What colors do you see? The orange, whatever, the green, what does it make you feel? How do you feel about this image? What story do you think this card is telling, right?
And so does each card really tell a story?
Yeah, it tells a story often. I mean, that's what it is. It's imageries, it's stories. It's like I said, the archetypes show up, you know, of the warrior or the old crone or the whatever, you know, people show up. That's who we are as humans. We have all these different archetypes we live in. So, so then in that case of the client, I might say, wow, I'm noticing that orange light. And they might say, yeah, it's like fire. It feels like power. It feels like strength, you know, and I might ask more about that, right?
Right. And is there also numbers? Because I always see the same numbers, angel numbers. And I know a lot of people can relate to that. Is that something that they have numbers on?
Yeah, we'll look at the number of the colors that are showing up. You know, so for example, this one, you know, is the Four of Wands. It just so happens from a tarot deck, right? And so the Four of Wands is usually, you know, about innovation, ideas, you know, but things like that. And so I think I might, you know, point out to somebody, hey, that's a four, you know, and it's also being grounded. So maybe you're more grounded than you think you are, you know, and in this picture, there's the kind of the fence. So she's sort of protected, but it's kind of like, What wants to step out from that fence? You know, I might ask that person as well. So yeah, numbers can be part of it. Numerology can be part of it as well. There's just so many things to look at in the card, and people will notice all kinds of things. Somebody will notice this little tiny bird in the corner, you know, like, usually the magnifying glass to see really close. What is all the imagery that's showing up in these pictures?
If everything means something, right?
And like you said, different to every person. So somebody else might bring it. I'm like, wow, you know?
Yeah. In the beginning, do you give them topics that they want to work on to before you start this?
Usually clients bring the topic. So like I said, if we've been doing therapy for a while, then I kind of know what their issues are. Oh, conflict with your spouse. Oh, you know, self-doubt about starting your business or whatever it is. I know what the things are. So they choose it. Yeah. But certainly the discussion can lead to that.
And have you noticed, like, is there a similar theme that seems to just everybody pretty much goes through?
Yeah, a lot of them have to do with, I would say, insecurity, sort of blocks, self-doubt, fears, what do I do next? You know, that kind of thing. So, they often do.
And is this one of your favorite tools to use for your clients? I know
it is.
You feel your passion on this, and I
do love it. Yeah, to me, it's just so fun. It's so rich. It's so creative. So yeah, it's my through line, you know, that I'm using in therapy and in coaching and even in my personal life. I mean, you know, so at work in my day job years ago, you know, all my colleagues at lunch would be like, hey, can we do therapy? That's really cool. The kids were talking about what you did and they loved it. And so then I started having people over at my house, have a therapy party.
I love it.
Pretty much.
Could people call you for a therapy party? Is that such a thing?
Why not? I did do it. One friend asked me for her bridal shower. She wanted me to come and do a therapy. Awesome. So I did on like love and relationships or something.
I love it. And for business too, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. And so what do your clients say or feel about this whole process? Are they loving it?
They absolutely love it. Like I said, they just say, wow. I mean, for one thing, it really just opens up things they didn't see. Sometimes they feel more hopeful because like I said, a lot of the imagery will have healing or kind of medicine-like images that you're like, wait, there is a way out of this. I feel so good about it. Sometimes they feel like they've been seen because maybe in talk therapy for years, you know, something didn't come up, but then this image comes up, you know, that kind of brings it all out or points out, wow. It gets somebody talking sometimes about something maybe they've hesitated in talking, but when the image is just throwing itself out there, you know,
So want to do it again now that I did it once with you because it's a different spin on things. But so are clients able to meet with you over virtual or do they have to meet with you in person?
Yeah, I'm actually doing most sessions in Zoom these days, you know, I think like a lot of people are. So definitely I can do it. Either I can pick the cards from people and I screen share it, or a lot of times my clients have their own decks and I usually have the same decks, so, you know, and so we can lay it out there and still screen share it and talk about it because there's a second piece of it that really cements the psychic shift that you, if you can manipulate your own cards, preferably, because then you reshuffle and recreate a different storyboard. You know, where people can really go, wow, I like how that feels. I'm coming from this darkness. I'm moving into this light or this, you know, change or this new vision, this new direction open up. And it almost creates, you know, like you're talking about, like a mini vision board almost for people.
Right. And how often should they do this?
You know, it really varies. Some people like to do therapy every session we have. Other people, like once a month, I'll hear from them like, hey, I'd like to do a therapy session. You know, so it really just varies. Like I said, it's one of many tools I might use in coaching or therapy, but it's probably one of my favorite ones. So
I love it. Well, again, first of all, I love what we talked about. That's so inspirational. And it's something different that people haven't used before. So I'm so excited that you brought it to us. One, where can people find you and how can they book an appointment with you?
Great. I can be found at www.personalgrowthinyourhands.com. Just one word, personalgrowthinyourhands.com. And like I said, I'm available for therapy with residents of California, but I do therapy coaching and life and spiritual coaching with people all over the country and the world. So if you just go to that website, there's a way you can send me an email and we'll reach out and connect. And so, and you know, I basically believe very much in the law of attraction and all these factors. So I just find the people that are drawn to me are the right people. that we're supposed to.
All the right people show up. And that's I really believe that so much. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I know that you were so kind and you wanted to give our listeners some a few samples out there. And of course, what are you giving?
Yeah, so I want to do just a mini therapy offer, like 20-minute session where we just pull one or two cards and talk. So, you know, maybe the first five people who email me in that order, I can reach
out. What we're going to do is actually we will put our number out there, 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. If you want to be one of those people, therapy, I'd love to send you to Heather and call in or text us right now and just put therapy. And can you tell everybody how it's spelled so that they
know? Yes, it's T-A-R-O-T-P-Y.
There you go, therapy. Yeah. And again, Heather, this has been so much fun. Leave us with one positive thought that people can really get from working with you.
That you have your own innate wisdom you can tap that can activate your own creativity and your own healing. And I just get to be the guide that walks the path with you.
There you go. You're like the director of their movie, right?
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
I love that. And again, give out your website one more time so that our listeners... Sure. And also, I do want to say that if you are not getting our newsletter, Heather will be in there and you can find her there. So again, can you give out your website one more time?
Yeah, www.personalgrowthinyourhands.com.
I love it. So good, Heather. Thank you so much for being a part of
this. Thank you. I love sharing this.
We're going to have you back because this is so much more, because I know that you not only do this, but you do so much more. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your weekend. Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you found some incredible knowledge and some great tips here. And of course, I always end our show with a moment of happiness. Be the best of whatever you are. With that, make sure you call in for your tickets and your comedy. So again, have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.